Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday sermon and give practical starting points to help you live it out, your faith, in your family, and in your community.
Paul, you wanted to say y'all, didn't you?
I did.
I saw you going.
Well, the only reason is because if we don't say something in that spot where all the music stops, when I do the truncating, it just goes.
Well, when you just don't select all, just select a portion.
Oh, I could do that.
You could do that. I mean, that's hello, everyone. How's it going?
It's a lot more work.
Y'alls.
Y'all. I dropped two y'alls in the sermon.
You did. I was about to say. I like how you...
I thought it was more than that, but it was
becoming natural.
It was a good breather.
It was that was for all y'all here.
All y'all.
Is that, can we do that, or is it is like all y'all like all the further you can go?
I don't know the y'all etiquette.
All right.
My last 6 years of youth groups have heard y'alls, all y'alls a lot. So.
Okay. Ted from Texas, let me know. Can we say, is there anything more than all y'all?
And where is he? Where would he tell us that?
I believe he would email at trinityfremontpodcast@gmail.com, or you can just text me, whatever. Hi, like, Ted.
I want somebody to email us. Please, somebody out there.
Email us. Mom, email us.
I don't even know if this email
Becky.
Works.
I could start emailing some things. That'd be cool.
I kind of think that you made this email up and doesn't exist.
It's fun because sometimes I'll get the notification that I got an email, and usually it's like Spotify telling me, hey, you can get a free 90 days.
That's not what I want.
TrinityFremontPodcast@gmail.com. All right. So good morning.
Good morning.
So we are, you may have heard one fewer voice around the table today, but Miss Lacey, today is picture day at Trinity, and that is just fun all around. Everyone loves it, but there's always that organization that is needed, and Lacey is, as the doer of all things, also the organizer of all life, and so she is at Trinity today, helping little kids stay lined up and stay socially distanced and also smile real pretty like.
I think she fixes their hair and makes them
lift
up. So they don't look like ragamuffins.
Right. Yeah.
She has the caring touch.
I will just tell you, it only took one try for my picture today.
Did she have to spoof up your hair at all?
No, she did have to. She, like the lady that was taking the picture, she walked away from the camera and went behind me, and she had to turn off the light. She said, I don't want a laser shining on your head. It'll bounce off, and like
she doesn't have to do that for the kids.
Nope, she doesn't have to do that for.
That a halo.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a different picture because mine doesn't have a pretty halo. Light shining on my head.
A halo.
In case you don't know, it's because I'm bald.
You would know if you came to church.
Or if we were live streaming, trinityfremont.com/donate. Why is my wife laughing so hard?
No reason.
Going to start crying pretty soon.
Nope, I'm good.
Nope, okay. All right, so how's everybody else? We talked about me. I'm bald and I got my picture taken today. Stacy, how you doing?
I have hair. I don't know what to say.
I'm so happy about that.
The sun is shining. I don't know what to talk about.
You're wearing like camo and a fuzzy.
Yes, I feel very fall today. Yeah. I don't like to wear a coat, but I put a vest on because it was chilly.
And not just a vest. A vest with a happy. Dead animal on the...
No, it's faux. My mom gave me this vest. Thanks, Mom.
A fake
it's
dead animal.
It's keeping me warm.
So is it alive?
It's fake faux dead. Fur.
Faux fur.
It's my ferret, actually.
He's always with us.
All right, we're going to... This is just starting off great, y'all. Casey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. I also have all my hair, but I will have no pictures taken today. So, okay. At least not for school.
All right. And Paul? Paul's laughing. He muted himself because he's over there laughing.
I'm laughing because I'm just picturing this ferret. Just like sitting there. Just going like cooing.
Do ferrets coo?
I think, what are they like big rats, right? Oh, no, they're like big cats that are rats.
They're long.
I know what they are.
Yeah.
You ever seen the movie in 1980, The Beastmaster? He had two ferrets that he carried around?
No.
Never mind. No. If you guys have ever seen that movie, it's 1980-something. It's like right up there with Conan the Barbarian in quality, you know. So it's, you know, as you can tell, it's going to be really good. It's one of those good popcorn movies that you go, ah, this is stupid, but I'm going to watch it anyway. I do have hair, and usually on most days I comb it.
There you go.
I do not have pictures taken. Well, I do, but I don't. Not today.
Yep.
And I'm not going to Trinity to do a picture, but my kids are. Mm-hmm. And my daughter was all upset because she had a shirt on this morning and you could see straps. I don't know. She was freaking mm-hmm. out, and I'm like, Mom, this is your...
Help.
And Will is just walking around like, I'm awesome. And his hair was just like all over the place. And he's like, I don't care. That might be you.
This is why Miss Lacey is needed at school. Yep.
Well, my daughter was literally. Anyway, she was all mad because she's like, why is this so easy for him? He just gets dressed and he's done. I'm like, well, he is a boy.
She's learning.
And he cares so significantly less.
And that will continue.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you, Leah. Wish I had some advice.
You don't have any. No advice is given.
No advice. All right. So, how's God messing with y'all this week?
I got a lot of stories.
All right. Well, Paul, how's God messing with you?
All right. So, we're going to get into... I'm just going to break. I'm going to open the seal. my wife and I have decided to take the Gerber challenge. And
we'll get to that in a bit.
But yeah, we'll get in there.
You can break the seal.
Anyway, I broke the seal. And of course, when we sat and talked about that, then Lori's battery died. And then after I replaced the battery, then her transmission went out the next day. And I was like, this is awesome. But we are committed to do this. And so not only do I get to buy a new car for my wife, I also get to tie 10%, which is going to be awesome.
Yep.
But no, Lori and I are fully on board. And also, now I'm actually going to have to pay attention to my finances. So that's a good thing, right?
Sure.
I can't just go, just go buy it. No, I have
probably sometimes.
Well, she's actually car shopping right at this moment.
Okay. So if you get a text that your card has been.
No, it's not. It's not that easy. I'm not that independently wealthy.
So in case you're wondering, what are they talking about? You should go back to the last, to the sermon from this past week, the fight against spiritual boredom, part 4, from September 27th. But the challenge in that sermon we get from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, which is bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. And so what we said is at Trinity, we take God at his word. We trust that he will keep his promises. We trust that he will do what he says he will do. And so we know that when you tithe, God will pour down on you blessings until there's no more need. And so what we are doing at Trinity is we're challenging people for the next 3 months to try to tithe. Through the end of 2020, try to tithe. And if in January you go that was kind of a bust. I don't think God kept up his end of the deal. We will refund the entirety of your tithe for the last 3 months. That's just because I know that God will keep his promises. I know that he does keep his promises. And so I'm not worried about that one bit. No, it's not a gimmick to try and get more money. But in a little bit, we will talk about what can God do with his people faithfully doing what he has called them to do. But before we get into that, how else has God been messing with y'all this week?
I already talked, guys. You guys can go ahead.
Well, it's been really interesting. Like this past week, it hasn't gotten to the level of Hevel. What it is that the word?
Hevel.
Yeah. Yep. Nothing has felt pointless, but
Of Hevel.
Yeah.
It sounds like an album name for some Christian rock band. It's like the Christian metal band. This is Level of Hevel.
I just got some ideas.
Christian metal.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm not a metal guy.
Is there Christian big band?
I'm sure there is. Christianity doesn't have their own thing. They just borrow from other things. They're just like, which Christian pop and Christian hip hop?
Hip hop metal. All right, sorry. Casey, God, yes. Messing with thee.
Yes, in fact, but nothing felt pointless, but it was just kind of one of those like meh weeks where it's everything's just kind of straight line. Nothing's great, nothing's bad. But towards the end of the week, God, you know, God just has his ways for each of us because he knows each of us individually has his children. Just a bunch of really awesome things that pointed me back to him happened about in a day and a half's period where I'm like, all right, you're God, I'm not. Life is good even when it feels meh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the official spelling of that is M-E-H, right?
Yes. Meh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Level of hell.
I keep going back to that. So there's one of my former professors at seminary. He is one of my favorite follows on Facebook because he has these random thoughts. Lots of them are often like, he'll be saying something and then in the middle of that, he'll be like, oh, that's a great name for a band. And so I can hear him saying Level of Hevel and then stopping and going, that's a great name for a band. Thank you. And tip your waitress. Like that's that. And then he'll be done with his post.
And I'm done. Level of Hevel.
Level of Hevel.
Stream of consciousness posting.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm going to join a band now and call it Level of Hevel and make sure it's Christian metal.
Mm-hmm. Metal. Screamo.
I probably won't listen to it. But just good luck.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing you have to do is just scream Jesus.
Yeah.
And then have
Bennett could do that. Do you need a child?
We do need a vocalist.
To scream.
I could always use a vocalist.
Because I'm great with names. What's the song that goes, hey?
Rescuer?
Yes. Bennett loves that song. He like,
hey, the one I go, hey?
Yeah.
Hey.
Bennett like stands on the pew and on the top of the pew and jumps every time. Screams. But so usually a little bit off.
So
like,
do I. Yeah.
He's our rescuer. Hey.
Hey.
It's cute. He's three. It's cute.
Yeah, it's awesome.
When 3-year-olds do that. When 43-year-olds do that. That's what you see when you see me. Yeah. Hey. I'm just really like saying hey really loud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
I tried to join in like the second or third time you played that song and my wife looks over at me. What are you doing? I'm like, the leader is doing it. We do this too.
Yeah.
Make sure you do hey. This is Level of Hell. Go.
So now I do it extra loud and I always get a reaction from my wife and it's amazing.
Yes.
You know, that's all I want is reaction.
Are you singing Rescuer this week?
I am not.
Oh,
do you want me to put it in?
Maybe for Tara. Tara can be the hey.
Yeah. I just want you to say this one thing.
Yeah. Don't sing the rest of the song, Tara.
Make sure
just
you
stand
do
there
it,
and
make
yell,
sure you do it hey. On beat and where it's supposed to be. Don't go before and don't go after.
Don't follow Bennett.
She will be fine with that. It's hey. Whether she doesn't laugh. After the first one, she won't be able to sing because she's laughing.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I don't mind laughing. I laugh at myself half the time when I'm singing. Yeah. I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
All right, so this week is just everyone. It was everyone's favorite conversation. It always is when you get to church and you get to talk about tithing. Everyone just like looks at you, and you know, as the pastor, I get to look out, and all these people are just they love hearing about tithing.
I love how I hear that I fall short from the pastor, and this one, especially with my money, it's fun.
Yeah, right. And I okay, all that is sarcasm. No one loves the tithing. Sermon. It just
Dave Ramsey does.
Dave Ramsey. Well, because he's the one giving it. It's no one loves hearing about. I shouldn't say no one. There are some who are like, yeah, I'm great with tithing, and I want you to tell everybody else. But people just don't like being told what to do with their money. Even though God is very, very clear, very obvious. In Malachi 3, you know, verses 8 and 9, we see that you are stealing from God if you don't tithe, and that's jarring. It's not soft language. God doesn't try gimmicks of well, and I shouldn't use the word gimmicks, but God doesn't. Say, you know, oh, hey, you know what? If you're not given, we'll try 1% this year and the next year 2%. He says, no, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. And so that it's a little jarring. It's tough to talk about. It's I tried to do a better job. Paul always calls me out on hiding behind my behind my tablet.
I was gonna say iPad, but then I was like,
it's a Kindle Fire. Kindle Fire 10 HD. But I put it down for a little bit this week. But I still can't look at people because even when I do, like in this series, they think I'm like speaking just to you. No, I'm speaking to all y'all.
If it hurts, there might be a little bit of truth in it.
I was going to say, maybe it's the Holy Spirit who is speaking directly to you. But this is always just it's a tough conversation to have because it's just awkward. Because it always feels like, oh, here it goes again. The church, all they want is my money, so that they can give all their staff a raise and the pastor can make more money because he's already way overpaid. Because he just works one day a week. Yeah, Stacy, right? I only go into work one day a week. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No comment.
Okay. and so then this when I preach, there's this like coming from an authoritative, I'm speaking the word of God to you. What I've looked forward to for today as we get to sit around the podcast is now we can have more of a conversation. We can have more of a real life. Yes, this is God says very specifically, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. What does that look like when my wife and I decide to bring the full tithe into the storehouse and then my van falls apart? Like, that's the conversations that we can have today is, okay, that's great, but what does that look like in my life? What if I barely was able to feed my family this week? Does God really want me to tithe? Or wouldn't he rather that I saved that money to feed my family than give it away? And so that's what we're going to maybe take a little bit of time to talk about. But when you hear tithing, what emotions or what thoughts or what past experiences come into play for you guys?
I can definitely say thoughts because I'm going through it right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one of the things is that there was just this realization that I have not fully just said, I trust in you, Lord, so therefore I'm just going to. Does that make sense?
Yep.
It's like, not that I don't trust him and he's not going to follow through. It's more of a, oh yeah, you're there. I'll just do whatever I want, essentially. But I don't think I've ever put myself in that. I never put myself in that I'm running through the desert, I don't know if I'm going to eat kind of situation of trust. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if I'm even making sense. But I'm, you know, as we go through this, Lori and I go through this, we're going to make the commitment, and then a car falls apart, and I'm sure there's going to be, you know, I'm sure now is when Will will fall off and break his arm, and now will be when the house explodes or something.
Hopefully not the podcast zone.
No, the studio will be fine.
Okay.
House.
Just the house.
Nothing important there.
We'll all be living in here. Of course, the studio is powered by the house. So if the house blows up, there won't be no power. Anyways, we're going down a rabbit trail.
You can live with us.
Yeah, fine. You know what?
We'll take care of you.
We'll just hang out. Hey, I got a key to the church. I can just hang out in the sanctuary and sleep on a pew.
They're very comfortable. Go to the ones in the front. Those are most cushy because they haven't been sat in forever.
Only the ones with the green line on it. Anyways, we're kind of, when Laura and I talked last night, she was just kind of like, oh, great. And the car broke down. And I'm like, yep. I think God's basically saying, yep, you will trust me or you won't. And if you don't, your car's still broken.
Well, so that's one of the things that we always have to be aware of is when we commit to walking in ways that God calls us to walk, Satan knows that. And his greatest desire is to say, you know what? Don't even take that first step. That first step, man, if you just stop now before you've tried it, that's the best. And so for you out there, if you've never tithed and you're like, I think we're going to try the tithe challenge and things just fall apart, that's Satan, because he knows if you do this, it will be good, and he doesn't want it to be good.
Well, and it's the classic temptation. Satan literally only has one line that he uses for every single temptation since Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Yeah. Did God really say he would bless you if you gave the full tithe? Because you're given something. You know?
Two bucks and a button. That is just that. Mm-hmm. That's going to take care of things.
Mm-hmm. Did God really say that?
Yeah, and I also think that we go through kind of like the response in Malachi of the people going, "Did you?"
Really?
Well, you said we stole from you, but really?
Really, God?
Well, and that I've always found God's response in that interesting, because stealing is a heavy accusation, but for us as Christians, but particularly for the Israelites who were hearing that, he's outright accusing them of breaking one of the commandments, because one of them is you shall not steal.
Yeah.
Who are you stealing it from? God. So you're breaking a commandment against God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that, like, if you're making a court case, God made his case pretty solid there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are some other thoughts or feelings that come along when you hear the word or you think of tithing?
You're looking at me.
Every single time, you know, and this sermon does come up annually. This one.
Usually it's in November, yeah. Right? Because that's Thanksgiving and that's when we can really tug on your heartstrings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would say, without doing any research behind this statement, you know, most people think it's a good sermon to have for others. Like, yeah, the church needs to be woken up. We need to care for these things. Well, what about you? I'm caring enough. You know, it's very hard to hear that sermon directed at us. At least when I've heard it before, it's usually, yeah, other people really need to be doing their part, y'all. It's not me. I'm doing what I can.
Yeah, God's talking to those people who are rich. They're the ones that should tithe and carry the rest of us. Because you ask, well, what do you mean by rich? Oh, those people that make just a little bit more than me. And then,
like, always more than you. Even if you level up a little bit, still those people beyond me.
Yeah. And we were talking, Paul and I were talking with one of our trainers this morning, and he made the comment that they talked a little bit about this weekend. He was on a retreat with some college kids, and the guy that was leading that made the comment, like, you got to start now. I know you're a broke college kid, but if you wait until you have money or you are making lots of money to tithe, you'll always need more before you can start tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you were to walk into work today and get a 10% raise and say, oh, okay, you could say, well, there's that 10% that can go to God. Well, you know, but we need a new dishwasher. And so we need...
Or car.
Or car. We need a new dishwasher. That's why I said that. We're getting there.
I'll that's trade you my dishwasher for your car.
Should we give him the flex?
No.
Stacy loves the flex.
I like
Daddy's
that.
Flex.
I like that deal better.
But like
it can just scoot to work for a while.
I can.
You wanted to start running anyways, right?
No, I'll take it's Stacy's because she always the kids always remind me. But she has a Razor scooter that I like to take.
It's so fun, but it has giant wheels. I didn't realize the wheels are so big, so it's like
I think I've seen you on that.
Oh yeah, you have. Yeah. But it's not like if we're always waiting until we're to that next level, that's when we'll be able to tithe. That's when we'll be able to be more generous. You're never going to get there. There's always going to be something that takes priority if you don't make it a priority today.
And I think the challenge is that is we can always picture something tangible that could help us, whether it's a need or whether it's a want. Like, a 10% raise. Could I help the church where I don't physically usually see the benefits that come back to me versus if I get a TV that is about 15 inches bigger, I can see the difference on game day.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially watching Chiefs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that 15 inches.
Yeah, yep. Let me tell you.
They're more likely to... 15 inches. No, 15 inches bigger than my current 85-inch TV,
yeah.
Which I don't have, by the way.
And neither do I.
And I have no desire for. Okay, yes, I do. Sorry, but Stacey, just give me a look. But we will not get it.
85-inch TV.
And it's so easy to be tempted by what we can picture for ourselves. And you can't buy a lot of the things that the Bible says are benefits on the shelf. And a lot of the things we would use our extra money on are sitting right before us. And now with Alexa and Amazon, they're just a click away.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so easy for that money to go somewhere else.
Two things come through my mind. More again, I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways, my brain is shut off. Okay. One is priorities. Suddenly you have to, you know, basically you have to look at your finances and go, what is really important here? Is that 80, you know, 15 extra inches on a TV more important, or should my kids actually have some food? There's an argument there. The other thing that goes through my mind is, what does it really look like to trust God?
Mm-hmm.
What does that really look like? Because there's a lot of times when I've talked to friends, especially in the past, that just like, I know I trust God and this is what, and then you just wear and wear and wear. It's like, well, if you really do, then why are you getting, not a hernia, what's the thing? Ulcer.
Yep.
I guess you get hernia too, but I mean, why are you getting an ulcer over this? If you sit there and confess that you know, God's going to take care of this, and I'm not. And this is like, then why are you doing this?
Let him take care of it.
Yeah, right? and you know, I don't know. I know that ulcers happen for many reasons, but sometimes wariness is one. Mm-hmm. But what does that really look like? Because when if you trust God and you give your money, tithe, whatever, and then you sit there with your significant other, wife, husband, or whatever, and you go, "This is what we got, hon. You know, mm-hmm. let's go buy that extra 15 inches TD." And she's like, "Yeah, but hold on." Oh, that's what she was going to do. She was going to laugh. And, I don't know. I don't know sure where I'm going down. So that's why I'm going to pass it on to Gerbs, and he's going to clear it all up for you guys.
Yeah. So, like, but you're right. The priorities, I think, is key. Because now instead of, after I get through all the stuff that I want and whatever's left over, now I can, I've got some money in my wallet and the plate's coming past, which is not right now, right? Because we can't pass the plate. I should probably... Oh, here's $20. Yay. I checked off the box. Now it's okay. This is what I'm carving out. This is for God. And this is my giving back to him because he has been so good to me. And now I've got to decide with that other 90% that is also God's, right? All of this 100% of it God has given to us. So giving back 10%. And that's what one of the churches that Stacy grew up in that I became Lutheran in is Christ in Lincoln. One of the ways that they kind of taught their tithe series, one of the things that they did is they gave everyone that walked into church, and this is not a small church, but they gave everyone that walked in that day, they gave them a loaf of good bread. I don't remember. It was like Sara Lee something. A loaf of good bread and then some peanut butter and jelly, like little cups. And they just said, just hold on to that. Put them under your chair. We'll talk about it later. So then as the sermon was going, and they said, all right, now pull out that loaf of bread, take out two pieces of that loaf, put it in the baggie with the peanut butter and the jelly and the little knife thing, and bring it up there and bring it up to the altar. And so everybody did that. They brought it up and they said, now, did you look for the worst two pieces of bread in your loaf? Did you find the back piece? No, you took the first two. Do you feel like you're missing anything? Well, no, because you didn't have a loaf of bread when you came in, and now you've got all but two pieces of a loaf of bread that you get to take home. It's not cheap bread. It's good bread. And that's what tithing, like if we look at this entire loaf of bread, our entire salary as a gift, then giving 10% away is not that big of a deal. Because, and then they took those sandwiches or the bread and the peanut butter and jelly, they took that to the local city mission, and they were able to give hundreds of meals away to people because they were able to, and they were able to care for their community because the people didn't, that were in worship that week, didn't keep it to themselves. They used it to bless others because they realized the whole thing was a gift. Where we get in trouble is when we're like, oh no, this is mine. And now I don't want to give it away because it's mine. Dave Ramsey often he'll use the analogy. Like if I give you $100 or the example, if I give you $100 and the only stipulation for that is that you have to give $10 away, are you going to be okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you're going to say, can we do that tomorrow and the next day? But if I give you $100 and let you hold on to it for a couple weeks and then say, oh, by the way, I want you to give $10 away. All of a sudden it's like, well, this is my $100. I don't want to give any of it away. And so that's what this, like, we have to realign not only our priorities, but our mindsets that this is all a gift. Everything that God gives us is a gift. And yes, some gifts, some people have more than others. And God doesn't say, all right, we need you to give this amount and then I will bless you. So if you don't have a job, great, you're tithing. Because you're giving 10% of your income, which is zero, right? So this is not saying, no, you have to give $5,000 this year. No, this is, you know, if, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, when I was growing up, I got $5 a week allowance if I did my work. That 50 cents that I would give to the church, because that's what my parents taught me, this is what we do with it, that was just as pleasing to God as, you know, as the millionaire who gives $100,000 or $10,000, right? No, I'm really bad at math right now.
You're not bad at math.
No. $100,000. I was going down to 1%, and I'm like, that's not right.
Math hard.
The millionaire that gives $100,000 and the kid who gets $5 a week who gives 50 cents, those are both just as pleasing to God because they're both the same trust, right? That's why, like, when Jesus points out the widow who gives two mites, which is like those combined are worth like half a penny today, Jesus looks at her and points at her generosity because she gave 100%. She gave all she had. Now, is that going to move the needle on the budget of that church? No, but Jesus looked at her and said, she is faithful. Pharisees, yeah, you're putting in all this money. Great, but it's not as good as this one lady who gives everything.
Well, and I think every time we come to a tithing or stewardship sermon, we look at it as a total money thing. It's all about the cash flow. It's all about this. But when Jesus talks about it, it's always a faith thing. Like it's never about, you know, how much money your local church has. It's all an exercise of faith. And you look at how Jesus talked about rewarding trust and faith. There's so many miracles that happen in the Bible. Like the one that always sticks out to me is when Jesus heals the centurion's servant. You know, the centurion is a Roman soldier. He would be in command of 100 officers, and he was not a Jew, at least best our understanding. And he comes to Jesus, and his servant he's closest to is near death, and Jesus is coming to the house, and the centurion says, "You don't even need to step in my house. You just say the words, and I know my servant will be healed." And this non-Jew, this person that you wouldn't expect Jesus to do any miracle for, Jesus says, "I haven't seen faith this great in all of Israel." Like a quote unquote foreigner who isn't in this faith has more faith than anyone who grew up with it. And I think when we look at it as a money thing, that's Satan's biggest draw, is it's all about what you won't have. But to Jesus, it's a faith thing. Do you trust me at what I said?
Right. And that's the reason, I mean, Jesus talks about money more than anything else other than the kingdom of heaven. Like Jesus, and not because he wants your money, but that's the easiest way to say, yes, I trust you, because money is so necessary and prevalent in our culture to give some away before. And this is like, you know, Jesus, the Israelites, they were all, I mean, it was all farming culture. And so the way you can look at this is like they would plow 10% of their field, and they would take that 10% to the storehouse, to the local congregation, to the tabernacle or wherever it was, to feed the priests. And then they would go back and they would get the other 90% of their crop. Like they didn't wait, okay, yes, oh, it's all in. Now I can take 10% of what I got in it. I mean, that's trust, because you don't know what's going to happen with the other 90%. But it is interesting in Malachi. So we have verse 10, which is, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need." The next two verses, "I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear," says the Lord of hosts. "Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight." So Jesus is saying, when you bring that first 10% into the storehouse, I got the 90% covered. I'm going to take care of that. I have you covered. So when you trust me, I'm going to make sure that these other things don't happen to you, but I'm also going to make sure that this other stuff continues. Now, can you get fired while you're tithing? Yes. Right? Can you lose, you know, as a farmer, can you lose crops while you're... Yes. So, but it's not... but maybe it would have been worse. Mm-hmm. Maybe, yes, you get fired, but then all of a sudden this other opportunity comes that you didn't even realize. And so it's not like if you tithe, my life will be perfect. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. Right, Paul? yeah. Like, it's not just going to be perfect.
Am I getting fired?
No. Well, no. But like... You
like
make
that well in there.
You make that comment, but like you guys make that decision. This is what we're going to do. And then car stuff.
Oh, yeah. But get fired. I mean, car stuff is car stuff.
Right. But like life isn't perfect just because, and everything's sunshine and rainbows because.
Well, prosperity. Right, gospel.
Yes. Thank you.
But I don't think. Yeah. I mean, if you have this. Every time I hear the tithe thing, it's always and then God will bless you. It's almost like, oh, I will give this money, so therefore I get more or more something. I'm not sure if that's the way that I want to look at this. I'm looking at it from the faithful. I'm pointing at Casey, like, because he made a point. The faithfulness part of it. I think to look at it because you're going to be blessed on the other side of it is, I think, the wrong way to look at it. That's my point of view. I mean, it's not like it's not going to happen. I'm just saying that I'm only doing this because I want a reward,
right?
Versus I'm doing this because I truly believe in what, you know, believe that God's going to take care of me or us or my family. The other side of that, you keep on looking at the screen, like, because I'm waiting for this to shut off. The other thing that I had in my brain, and you guys can look at me like I'm crazy, is the fact that I when I was thinking of tithing in my brain, I was like, I spend so much time, a lot of time for the church, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't ask for compensation. I just kind of say, well, I'm going to do this stuff because, and in my brain, it was like, well, that's part of my tithing. Mm-hmm. Because if they had to pay for this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Saving money in the long run.
And so I was always like net zero kind of thing. But then I just kind of realized that that's silly. And so, I mean.
Why is that silly?
Well, because that's not what really having. I think the point of tithing is not just so I can give money away. It's so I can have complete trust and God's going to take care of me. If I'm just giving my time, how is that me going, oh, well, that's because I trust God's going to take care of me, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and that's what, so like often the stewardship, you know, the three-part sermon series of time, talents, and treasures, and we wait till treasures at the end so that, but
everyone knows there to is, skip that Sunday.
Yeah, right? you should always start, just catch them off guard with treasures, and then if they come back, they'll hear about time and talent. No, time and like giving of your time and giving of the talents that God has given to you are very important. But there's not as much of the trust necessary there. Like I can give of my time to someone and it might be an inconvenience. But it's not going to affect my bank account. It's not going to affect me doing what I want to do most of the time. When the check comes in and then it comes right back out, that affects what I can do. And that's where that trust really plays into it.
Well, and I think it's also important to understand, why would God ask us to give this? You know, God just isn't asking for 10% just to have your 10%. Like going back to what you were talking about, you know, being a largely farming and agriculture community. When God set aside the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe of Levi was specifically set aside to be priests. They didn't have farming jobs. They didn't have sheep and cattle on the side. Their job was the temple. So the 10% was so that the priests could eat, you know, and that was God providing for them. And we look at it as God wants to take my 10% away just because, you know, there is a purpose for it, because a lot of these ministries don't get funded. It's how God helps the church continue.
Right.
He uses earthly means to continue heavenly goals.
Yeah. Now the fun thing is with that, like God doesn't need our money for that.
Mm-hmm.
God can, which is like this year, Trinity was in the black, and the response will be, well, yeah, that's because of the PPP loan. And I'm like, yeah, God used the government to pay down our line of credit. Thank you.
Don't be too proud.
Right. Don't. Yeah. So it's really interesting to see what God does and how God uses. He doesn't need me to give. Again, I love going back to Dave Ramsey because he's so good at this. But the quote that I hear from him is, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills. Like God owns it all. God doesn't need my tithe to move anything forward that he wants to move forward. He will do what he wants to do, but he needs my trust. And that's where the tithe comes in. But we can also say, well, what if God's people actually did it? And that's what, like, this next week, that's what we're going to be talking about is, you know, God has called us to do all these things. What are you going to do? Are you going to follow his guidance, follow his direction? Or are you going to say, you know what? I like being comfortable. I like just doing my own thing. But God, what if all of God's people said, you know what, God, your ways are better. Your ways are best. We're going to do this. And so one of the things that I like to do is just, I like to play with numbers. I like to look around. And so.
Are you imagining?
Numbers floating.
Are you imagining like what will happen?
Yeah.
Like if I.
Oh. Apparently Paul had a new...
In a world where people tithe.
All right, so this is like the Saved by the Bell where the edges of the screen goes pink and fuzzy and we get to...
Dream.
Just imagine.
Just imagine. So I kind of looked at, so at Trinity, there are 1,150 family units. Now, I took about 40% of that. I went with 400 just because that's the number I'm going with. Because I know that there are some of those that are connected aren't, or that are in our books aren't really connected, those sorts of things. But so I took 40% of that, about 40, so 400 families. And just kind of the way things are going in our area, about $50,000 would seem like a decent average for a household unit. Now, yes, there are going to be some who make less than that, and yes, there are going to be some who make more than that, but we'll just average 50,000. If every one of those 400 families tithed $5,000 a year, if you can do quick math, that's $2 million. The current cost of ministry at Trinity for this year was about $1.6 million. Now, that includes a school, and so part of that income is tuition, but if every family at Trinity tithed, we could completely pay down our debt, which is about $180,000. We could completely pay that down. We could offer the school tuition free, and we could still have $200,000 left over to do with what we want. And that could mean hiring more staff, so that we have more areas of ministry where we can connect better with families, with older, with seniors, with children, whatever, with music, whatever it is. Or we could put money aside for mental health. Like this right now, there are a lot of people who are struggling with mental health, and a lot of people don't have access to mental health. What if we were able, because we all tithe, there we had a pot of $50,000 set aside so that when someone needed to see a counselor, we could say, you know what, we'll take care of that. As the church, we want to make sure that you get the help that you need. Those are the things that I sit at home at night and dream about and say, what if the church actually took God at his word, actually trusted him with what he calls us to trust him in? What if that would then lead to all of these blessings that we could have, not just for us, but for our community? And then what if the people outside of the Christian faith looked and went, whoa, that's radical. They're caring for people in need. They're doing what Jesus, I kind of want to be a part of that.
They will know we are Christians by our love.
Right. What if, and that's the question I just love to go back to. What if the people of God actually did what the people of God, or what God calls his people to do? What a witness, what a blessing, what a ministry that could be to show who God is in their communities, right? That's the purpose of Trinity, to raise up Christ followers in our families, but not just in our families, also in our communities, in the places that God has placed us. What would that look like if the people of God actually trusted God, took his promises seriously, and said, let's go, let's do this?
And I think it really does take a measure of faith, because once again, you know, it's something, you know, pie in the sky is great, but eventually the devil loves to tempt us with, that vision's great, here's your now, your vision's not real. And that's it. And I talked a little bit about this with Pastor and a few other people on Sunday, because it's one of my favorite Bible stories. It's about 3 verses long, and it's one of the most commonly known Bible stories, but we overlook a key part of it, and it's when Jesus calms the storm. We talked a little bit last week about Jesus helping Peter walk on water. This is a different story. Same type of premise, different day.
Because Jesus is with him in the boat the whole time.
Yes. Yep. And so they decide to go over to the other side. Jesus falls asleep in the boat and a storm comes up. The disciples think their ship is going to sink. They wake him up. He calms the storm. And then he essentially goes, where was your faith? And usually when I read that for years, it was always, you know, oh, they didn't trust because Jesus was with them in the boat. Like, he never left them. But if you look at the verse that kicks off the whole story, it starts with, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And there's several other times when stories start in the Bible. It's, they decided to go to Capernaum. They decided. This one specifically denotes that Jesus said, we are going to the other side. So you can break down, Jesus isn't upset that they didn't trust that he would protect them while he's in the boat. He told them, we are going to the other side. And his disappointment, I think, comes from the fact that, I told you where we were going. I'm not lying to you. When I said we're going to do something, we're going to get there. And talking about faithfulness and what that looks like, it means stepping out when that storm hits and it doesn't make sense to keep rowing. But Jesus said, we're getting there. Jesus said, I will open the windows of heaven when you give the full tithe. There's your, in, you know, storms come up, but Jesus said, we're going there. Mm-hmm. We're getting there.
Yeah. I've been pretty quiet today.
Yeah.
I feel like like Anthony and I, we had very similar upbringings in regards to tithing. And so, at least in my mind, tithing has not really had negative connotations because it's been something I've done as long as I've had an allowance, that I would put my $2 in for offering. And just that conversation of God calls us to obedience in this, and this is what we do.
You got $20 allowance?
A month.
Oh, okay. That's what I got. All right. Okay.
$20 a month.
Okay.
So in my mind, that's always just been a given, I guess. And even in our marriage, through our early years of marriage, and we were actually making money because I was working full time and you were working some, that was just, okay, we tie this amount. This is, Anthony likes math, so here's our 10%. Here's what we give. And even some months we'd give more if we could because we didn't really do a whole lot. Like we didn't have money to give. But then we went to seminary and we were not making, I had a job, I was earning money, but we were not making any extra. We were spending a lot. But even then we said, you know, we're going to tithe on what I'm making, even though we're spending all this money on tuition, and we definitely could put it to good use there.
And it was tuition towards a seminary. So that's
right.
Like,
so like we're giving like our 4 years of time and then ministry forever as a pastor.
By funding a student you know very well.
Yeah. It was me that I was funding. So right, that's a tithe, right?
Yeah, and you're funding, and through all that, you're also helping another faith institution. So good job, right? There's the excuse that the devil gives you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. But we said we're going to continue to tithe on what I was making, the income that we had, and you worked some on campus too, so on that too. And some months it was like, I have no idea how this is going to work. There's no way. And some months we had less money than bills, but to see God's blessing in ways that were other than financial. Some months there were adoptive student monies that would come in and completely cover it. And it was clearly this was the Lord because the amounts matched up so perfectly. It was like, you ordained this for us at this time. Thank you, Lord, for that money. But sometimes it was, hey, the gardens on campus are growing this food and we can pick our own food from the gardens and we don't have to go buy that. That's a blessing from God too. Sometimes it was
bread day.
Yeah, bread day.
Hey, Panera had lots of extra leftover bread last night and they dropped it off here. Go get all of your bagels.
Here's your breakfast. Sometimes it was Landon's growing into he needs a new size of clothes and we don't have money to go buy that. But a friend says, hey, I have all these clothes that my kids outgrew. Could you use them? Yes, I could. In Michigan, when we were there, we were faithfully tithing. And I think one of the best blessings that we found was just a group of friends. When we are faithfully following God in his ways, God blesses us in many different ways. And so it's opening our eyes to see, what are these blessings? What are you giving to me, God, because I'm showing my faithfulness to you? So sometimes it does take that look back. How has he provided in ways other than just financial? Yes. But what are the other things I have that are clearly God's hand in my life?
And I can speak to the other side of that because it's very easy. Since I'm on the podcast, I'm not exclusively a listener, but at least on the side of, you know, as a trained director of Christian education, sometimes you get you were trained. You're on the church side. I'm not there yet. But you know, us on the podcast, we're struggling through our own lives just as much as anyone. And to kind of look at the flip side of that story, there was a time in my wife and I's life, you know, sometimes life change happens, you know, instantly. Yep. We had a couple months heads up that life is going to change big time. And we had a couple of financial advisors who were like, you know, you need whatever you can to lock down for this, because you don't know what the future is going to look like. You need to lock it down. And so one of the biggest mistakes, and I did talk with Tara before I shared the story, so not embarrassing my wife. Even though we had some income, rather, you know, we followed financial advisors, and there was a period of time where we weren't tithing, and we gave into that temptation. And even in the middle of that storm, we started picking up tithing again because we realized, you know, it's exactly what Jesus told us not to do. You know, we're not trusting, even though literally the experts of the world are saying you need to cut back. And you know, did one day a Corvette show up in my driveway? Hey, I'm still waiting for that. That's you know,
Paul, are you gonna buy two cars this week?
Yeah.
A Tesla.
There you go.
But it, you know, even to this day, we're definitely not rolling in the money, but God provided, and it wasn't, and this was the challenge for me in that faith walk. I like knowing like months in advance what things are going to look like. Sometimes it was God gave us what we needed this month. Yeah. Praise be to him for that. And we had just, we had money to make the budget work. We had people who gave, you know, whether it was time to help us move to a new house and didn't charge us what they could have, or, you know, it's God provided and blessed in ways I could not have imagined. And I'd say 80% of that was not financial. Mm-hmm. So when we talk, when we look at, you know, I'm going to open the storehouses of heaven, like, oh yeah, a little bit of down period, then the green stuff's going to flow. Yep. And we going to be set. God provided and blessed us in ways I could not even have written it. Like, it's, if you were submitting that script to 20th Century Fox, they'd be like, come on, go over to Hallmark. That's too easy. Yeah.
21st Century Fox has been sold to Disney, so.
Disney might buy it. It is.
Maybe they didn't tithe.
It would be a good Disney Channel movie. But I can't stress enough how God came through in amazing ways for that time, and it's, we credit it all to him. And so for those who are listening who are like, yeah, but you're churchy enough to be on a podcast, you were trained to be a youth minister, I've made the mistake and our family made the mistake for a good period of time of giving into that temptation. It is incredibly easy, but I trust what he says when he says, I will provide. He will provide.
Well, and I challenge anyone who doesn't want to tithe, who doesn't think they should tithe, to go find one person who has tithed that regrets it. I mean, I have never talked to anyone who has tithed who said, I wish I wouldn't have. That was a waste of my time. That was a waste of, I've never talked to anyone. Honestly, if you go try and find people who have tithed and try to find someone who feels like it's been a waste of time, all you're going to do is find people who say, nope, do it, keep going. And so just keep doing it, just keep doing it. And so, like, I really, if you are concerned about tithing, just start talking to people. And now it's awkward to say, hey, do you tithe? But you know what? Ask, if you're a younger member, if you've got young kids or whatever, and you're like, maybe once my kids get out of the house, then I can tithe. I go talk to the 70 and 80 year olds in your congregation, who they have tithed forever. And they've said, and they will all tell you, you know what? There were times where we didn't know how we'd get through the month. I mean, and a lot of these families, there were 7 to 12 kids in their families, and boy, they weren't raking in the dough, but I can guarantee you they're almost all of them are going to say, somehow every month we had enough. And that's what, like, you know, when in Malachi, it doesn't say, and I will throw open the windows of heaven and pour down you a blessing until there's no more want. It says until there's no more need. Mm-hmm. So again, yes, this is not a, like, if I give $40, I'm going to get $60 back. And then I'll get to use that for however I want. No, it really,
it's not a personal investment.
It isn't. It's, you're not going to Edward Jones and saying, hey, here you go, here's my money, make sure it makes 20% this year. Let's go.
I love to see 20%.
I know.
We're just going to say, no, but Stacy got 20% on hers this year.
I guess because you're retired.
Yeah,
it's because you're retired.
I need to dip into this retirement. Zero.
So I will. If you would like to know who our financial advisor is, we'd be happy to tell you. I won't put it on the podcast, even though he's a great guy.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
Yet.
But no, like, but that's not what it's not about, like, oh, if I tithe, everything will be sunshine and rainbows. But God says, I will pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. That is his promise to you, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. And I think on top of need, like, and it's one of those things, you need to just find what a need and a want is. No, you didn't get to eat out as much as you wanted. And a lot of times it's very easy, particularly for us as you know,
you
Americans.
Can say it, Americans. Yeah.
I because there are sections of America that are struggling, so I don't want to, like, necessarily pigeonhole that, but we as Americans have a very high standard of living of, you know, yes, I could just, you know, brew coffee black and put just a little bit of sugar in it, or Starbucks has pumpkin spice, you know, and we equate that to, I need the nicer thing. But God didn't, we can always find different things we want and then then disguise them as needs. Mm-hmm. And God says, I will provide that you have no need. And so it might, some of those needs might not be as you define them. Right. But
even the coffee that I brew at home is not a need. Mm-hmm. Now I might claim it is because I've been addicted to the caffeine and so I need it to get through the day. But even, I mean, even the things that will actually say, no, really, that's a need. I need my coffee. I need my phone. Mm-hmm. I need my cable, the fastest data plan. Right. And so we have made those into needs because if you really want to be a citizen in this country, you have to have all of these things, because if you don't have a phone and you're out of a job, you're never going to get that call because you don't have a phone. So you have to, there are all these needs that are really, this would make things easier. Mm-hmm. This would be better. But again, so going all the way back to what Paul said at the very beginning, it's about priorities. And so what are those priorities? Is God's word, are God's promises priorities? I think that's really what it comes down to.
And I think it's who's at the center of what you run, because it goes back to what we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Is God in the place of honor, or is he in the place of leftovers? And answering that question it's easy to answer that question when everything is going right. Oh yeah, I honor God 10%, sure. But in those moments when like three things break down at once, and all of a sudden it comes down to, like, it was almost the beginning of the sermon. Do we believe everything God has said is true?
Yeah, God's way is always better.
And is that yes you yelled when it felt good still your yes? And, right. And that's what God calls us, that if the answer is always yes, I will provide even when it's hard.
All right, so just tithe. God will take care of you. Just promise. Just do it. Don't think the about end. It. All right, don't just, if you're married, have that conversation with your spouse.
And continue to have the conversation. Continue. Of, yeah. Okay, this money's going. How are we feeling about this?
Yeah.
How have we seen God provide?
And
this money's going. Here's what's left. What are we focusing on?
Especially ask that question. Like, don't just say, all right, yeah, we're just going to do this, and because now we're checking this off the box. But be able to look back and say, wow, here are some of the ways that we've seen God's blessing. And yeah, 80% of them haven't been financial, but this is where we've seen God's blessing. We started doing this, and all of a sudden this person came into our life, and now we built this great friendship. Whatever that is. Is that a direct result of, well, I'm giving money, so now I have better friends? No, but could it be a direct result of God saying, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to promise my blessing.
I just keep on thinking, I'm going to get better friends.
Sorry, you're sad with us.
Paul, I have horrible friends. It's because of that tithing.
Soon, Paul, you can get rid of us and find some good friends.
I'll start tithing and I'll start getting better friends. And gosh,
hey,
many
I
people
was lonely
are
in
like
Michigan.
You,
yeah. I was lonely in Michigan, and so when I got friends finally, because we hadn't lived there long, this is from
you were. Yeah, we.
I was looking for that. There was a void, and then God filled it with excellent friends.
Yep, excellent.
Yeah.
All right, Casey. I'm sorry. I just jumped right. I just started laughing. It's like, you will get friends.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Go on.
Better friends.
Better friends.
Right. You don't need your sucky friends right now.
They're just horrible.
All right. So with all that, let me end this by saying, just tithe. Just do it.
Gracious God, we thank you for how you provide for us. Lord, Satan, you know Satan tempts us in ways that hit home for each and every one of us. And many times that's financial. Lord, when our faith sometimes falters, when we're tempted to give into that call to keep it our money to ourselves, Lord, keep our trust steadfast in your word, that what you say you will do, you will in fact keep your promises and do. Lord, help all of us commit to what you've called us to do, the full tithe, and thank you for the blessings that you pour out on us, even when we don't follow what you've given us. Forgive us when we fall short, and thank you for that forgiveness. And Lord, in each and every day, strengthen our trust in you so that it may go well, and help us walk ever closer to you each day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782 or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.